Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orient Cement Limited Q3 FY24 Result Earnings Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Mittal from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Riya. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY24 Earnings Call of Orient Cement Limited. From the management, we have with us MD and CEO Shri Deshdeepak Khetrapal. Without any further ado, I hand over the call to Mr. Khetrapal for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Harsh, and a very warm welcome to all the participants in this call. As usual, I'm grateful to all of you that you show interest in our company and spare time for coming on this call. I know we are a few minutes behind, but we were waiting for more people to join the call, so here we are. I mean, I know the participants on this call are all interested people and who do their homework pretty well. But still, I'll give you a little bit of summary, as you would have seen. We're happy with the, I would say, the profitability results that we've been able to put together, 117 crores EBITDA, touching about 840 rupees per ton. This is where we said we would want to be at the end of the year as well. I think some of the concern that people may have had, and I'm saying may have had because internally we at Orient Cement also are a little bit disappointed with the degrowth in volumes that we have recorded in Q3. But I'll just give you a perspective on what we think has happened in Q3. Our disappointment aside, but the fact of the matter is that in Q3, there were several things that have happened in the industry. More importantly, in our home states, which home states means the two very important states, which is Telangana and Madhya Pradesh, we had elections that obviously created too much of a slowdown when the labor and people just disappeared. You know what happens when the state elections happen. So that was one of the main reasons. Besides that, obviously, the festivals in this quarter and also the Maratha agitation in some parts of Maharashtra. For the first time, we saw construction activity being and multiple bans being placed on the cement and concrete activity in both Mumbai and Pune. So multiple reasons are there. One of the most important I should point out is also that despite our degrowths, when I look at the YTD growth numbers that have come out from DPIIT, they came just a few days ago. When you see YTD, we have a growth of about 9%, which seems to be completely in line with the growth of the rest of the industry pan-India because that's the only reliable data available. So while we do believe we should have done better, but it doesn't seem that we've actually lost in terms of the growth that the industry is recording, and we have had a degrowth. So in fact, if you look at the data also shows that up to November, the growth of the industry, I'm talking about YTD, was about 10%, and up to November, we also had a growth which was in excess of 11%. In the month of December, if you see the numbers, the growth rate has come down very significantly, and that's where I think we also have a little bit at the end of November, we're looking at 11% growth YTD YOY. So I just thought I'll bring that up to you. The other matter of concern basically has been in our state of Telangana, which, as you people know, is a very, very important. It's not the largest state for our sales, but it's still a very, very important state for us. That is a smaller market, but our home market. And in that, the B2C sales have been extremely slow in this quarter, the trade sales as the jargon goes in the industry. And obviously, first it was the elections, and then it's the change of government. So a lot of uncertainty there where lots of changes are being made in the administration, the officials. and things are not sort of getting to go as they would with a stable government. With low demand and too many players actually getting aggressive in Telangana, we are surprised as to how many players in Telangana are beginning to offer prices which quite frankly surprise us. I don't want to name them, but if you people do your research, you'll find that some of the topmost brands who've enjoyed premium for a long, long time in the markets because of the brand equity, in Telangana markets, we have seen them selling, not just quoting, selling at about 20 rupees less per bag than our price of Bilaiwa cement. Now, that is something which obviously puts pressure on us also, but given our strategy of staying with the right pricing and also pushing more and more of premium cement in the market, you would have seen that our realization per ton, very close to 5,400 rupees, is in some way in contrast to what we are seeing as realization being reported by many other players, which I think is carrying on and sustaining the strategy that we've had. But I just thought I'll point out to you that despite lower prices from very big brands, we are not succumbing to the pressure. As a result of that, the pain has come our way, and just to give you one data point, the B2C volumes in Telangana in Q3 for us are actually lower by 29%. That's a huge, huge hit. Are we happy degrowing by 29% in our home state? Certainly not. But the options are you compromise in price and start selling cheap, which as a strategy as of now, at least we've not sort of thought that it's prudent for us to do that. So I thought I'd just table that. Even in our largest market by volume, we sell 60% or thereabouts in Maharashtra markets. And as we know, that's our most important market. There again, I think the major growth in demand continues to come from the what we call the B2B, the non-trade segment. And they largely buy OPC cement. And in that market, again, because the growth is coming to infra, we have actually been growing well. The only problem that is there is that in that state also, in B2C, there has been degrowth. So B2C sales degrowing is a worrying sign for us, because that means not just the segment change, it also means the product mix change, and that keeps getting adverse. And when you sell so much more OPC, you know the pressures it creates on companies. So in terms of so that was a little bit qualitative feedback or inputs on the volumes that we have, but overall volumes, as you people would have seen, we ended up at 13.92 lakh tons, a degrowth of 3% over last year and 2% over the previous quarter. YTD, as I mentioned, the sales have been 44 lakh tons and up about 9% over last year YTD. Again, as I mentioned, in line with the industry. The pressure of, let's say, demand growth that we've seen coming from the B2B sales has resulted in our total B2B sales in this quarter actually going up to as high as 56%, which is something that we would like to correct as Telangana consumer demand picks up and as Maharashtra consumer demand picks up. We hope, even if it doesn't happen in this current quarter, but sooner than later, I think this trend needs to reverse, because this is not a trend that we would like to pursue. But as of now, Q3, we had 56% of our volumes coming from B2B. As a product mix, our OPC, that is unblended cement versus blended cement, has reached a high of 50% in the quarter. So I thought that, because all of you remain a little bit curious about how that breakup is, so non-trade 56%, OPC 50%, balance obviously is our trade sales. In all this, I think the good news is the consistently growing share of our premium brands. And we now comfortably sort of crossing 20%, 21, 22% that range. We are selling our premium cements, including initially we used to talk about only Strongcrete. Now Orient Green is beginning to chip in, and Dolphin is still to, like I said, find volumes worth mentioning. But any consumer who's actually used our Dolphin brand, they are actually the people who start with only the basement or only the smoothing, slowly gradually start coming back for other uses also. So that product again is being received exceedingly well by the user customers, and as happened with Strongcrete and as happened with Orient Green, basically we rely on word of mouth from our existing users to build our market share. Exactly the same strategy that we've had from the day we introduced the first premium brand, which is Stonkate. So we'll go slow but go steady and keep charging the price that we believe our product actually deserves. As a result of that, despite, as I mentioned, the degrowth in volumes, if we say our revenues, they've actually improved. We are 3% higher year-on-year and 4% higher QOQ, which is, as I said, the higher blended realizations coming in because of premium cements helping us a lot. As I mentioned earlier, realization of rupees 5,400 per ton this quarter is 5% up year-on-year and 7% quarter-on-quarter, which is, I think, a very strong evidence that the strategy that we're following is of premiumization and actually being in the league of the A-category brands. It's working, and we're happy to be there. It's taken us many years of effort and commitment and some sacrifices, but we are glad it's working out for us. And I don't need to call it out, but still the YTD net sales at 2292 crores are 11% up year-on-year against, as I mentioned, volume of 9%. Balance is coming from price premium. To a certain extent, I must acknowledge, while our premium products have helped, they're also in the Q3. For about 5-odd weeks, getting close to 6 weeks, there was a little bit of pickup in prices initially in this quarter, which in the second half of the quarter just disappeared, and we ended the quarter with prices going back to what they were at the end of September. But for a part of the quarter, they were somewhat higher prices. They definitely helped us. They look at better realization in the quarter. EBITDA, as I mentioned, is 28% higher than previous year, and on YTD basis, that was 309 crores, is 33% up, which is good news given the scenario that we have in the industry. EBITDA per ton at about 840 rupees is up about 200 rupees over last year and about 220 rupees over the preceding quarter, which is again helping our bottom line. Besides the slightly improved prices in part of the quarter, and also, as I mentioned, the contribution coming, increasing contribution from our premium brands, the other elements which have worked in our favor are the way we have benefited from the waste heat recovery plant that we had set up. It is still not 100% operational, but with the 80%, which we had called phase one, with that itself, which got commissioned during the quarter, it didn't work for the full quarter. We're actually beginning to see the benefit of over 4 crores per month, and I think when we have the balance 20% power also coming in, which is from preheater section, the work is in advanced stages and we should be commissioning that soon. But I believe that from at least next quarter, the benefit that we see from waste heat recovery itself should be around 5 crores rupees per month, and a total volume that we typically end up doing about 5 lakhs odd, between 5 and 5 point lakh tons, it would be close to 100 rupees a ton. And then this quarter itself, the waste heat recovery impact for the whole quarter has given us a benefit of 56 rupees a ton when the plant was neither in use for the full quarter nor, like I said, worked at 100% capacity. And here again, if I look up for the good news, is that with 80% completion, what the assumed generation was, we actually are having generation from our waste heat recovery, which is higher than what the guaranteed generation from the vendors was. So what has been completed is doing well. We are quite sure that even the preheater section, when it's completed and commissioned soon, we will keep getting this significant benefit that we had told the shareholders, but the benefit is proving to be a little higher than what we had perhaps conveyed to all the analysts and shareholders. Power and fuel costs, they are down by 157 rupees per ton year on year and about 87 rupees from Q2, because prices have been softening in the meantime, besides the costs here. The important thing to remember here is at 1420 rupees per ton that we are quoting here, it certainly has the impact of much higher proportion of OPC than we are used to. Typically, we used to have 40% OPC. Now we have come to 50%. So every percentage point higher in OPC consumption does mean that we are using less of additives, which means there is more clinker going per ton of cement, which means more fuel going into that. And that obviously impacts our total cost. Even grinding of clinker is more, because then you're adding between 30-35% of fly ash. Obviously, the grinding power on that part is so much lower, but when you're using only about 4%, which is as per the standards, so then obviously your grinding costs along with the clinker making costs goes up. So that's pushing the per ton fuel cost slightly on the higher side, despite the fact that our fuel has actually benefited us, our waste heat recovery plant is benefiting us, but still we would like to see it more competitive. Anybody who has, and thankfully when we see the results of competition, people who have the luxury of about 80% of PPC cement, obviously the power and fuel costs tend to be lower. Even as, let's say, if we actually did apple-to-apple comparison and looked at our, what is my cost of producing one ton of OPC or one ton of PPC, I think we are still very competitive. But the product mix right now doesn't make us look the lowest power and fuel cost, which we have had in many quarters. So this, like I mentioned, currently is our compulsion. We are taking it. But as we move forward, we're hoping that this trend will change and we'll come back to the PPC also having its fair share in our product mix as we move forward. The other initiative which we've been talking about and which has helped our power and fuel costs is our thrust on the alternative fuels. And these AFRs, as all of you are aware, they are nothing but the waste of other industries. So with the effort that's been going on, and I think quarter after quarter, we've been increasing the percentage of AFR in our fuel mix. As a result of that, I'm happy to announce that in Q3, we actually, on a volumetric basis, we consumed as much as 25% of our total fuel coming from AFR. On PFR basis, it's a little bit more modest, that because AFR obviously doesn't have as many calories as the traditional fuel has. So if you go by TSR basis, it's at 17%. We've never been in this range before. And we will like to continue this trend and keep increasing the usage of AFR as we go forward. Not just AFR, besides the waste heat recovery plant that I've already mentioned, currently about 50% of our power requirement at our Jalgaon grinding unit is actually coming from solar, which is renewable power. And the further investments that we have, which should be available to us in the next maybe a quarter and a half, both at Jalgaon and also at our Chittapur Karnataka plant, that will further give us more renewable power, giving us more savings. But currently we have reached in Q3 25% of our total power consumption coming from renewables, including waste heat recovery and solar at Jalgaon, which should go up significantly once we commission the solar capacity, which is under construction at the two locations, as I mentioned. In terms of state mix, I mean, all of you do know that West is about 64% for us now. South is at 27%. It used to be closer to 30, 29. It's dropped a little. And the balance is being made up by the Central India, Madhya Pradesh, and some markets around that. It's interesting to share when we talk about, on a blended basis, it's so much high OPC in our system. Despite that, in Q3, our power consumption per unit is, at a low of 63 units, which most of the industry players will confirm is a very, very good place to have, especially when you are selling 50% OPC. Heat consumption, similarly, the per ton of clinker is 687. Again, it continues to be one of the best. And I'm giving you blended for the whole company. Obviously, the near Karnataka plant works at significantly better than that. So it's a blended number I'm sharing with you. The fuel cost, power cost is one element in the whole thing, which is coming down because of waste heat recovery. Although the CPP coal continues to be expensive, and CPP is our captive power coal, despite that we've been able to sort of lower our power costs. But on fuel cost, again, it's down from last year on a complete per ton cement basis, which I've already given to total power and fuel. In terms of coal or our fuel prices, the domestic coal that we source from Singhalini Collieries, as you know, it's a public sector body, I think there the coal prices, thankfully, in this quarter have been flattish year on year. There's no further increase. and also sequentially, they've been a little stable now for a change. And I think that's a pressure coming where the petcoke prices have come down significantly, and therefore, I think coal in India has to somewhere remain competitive. The petcoke cost, which we largely use at Chittapur, actually the cost is down by about 10% over last year and about 6% sequentially over the previous quarter. I know these questions have been coming, so I'm including that in my briefing right at the start. Blended cost of fuel, I'm talking about rupees million kilocalories. Blended includes my coal, petcoke, AFRs, whatever we are burning in our kilns. At our Telangana Devapur plant, it's been flat over last year. It's flat at about 1800 sequentially, but it's down, including the AFR. When I'm saying that, including the AFR, our blended cost is down about 12% over last year for our Devapur plant. And at our Chittapur plant, the main fuel is petcoke. There also, it's sequentially, it's down about 7% and about 12% lower year on year. So there is obviously the benefit of AFR and a somewhat benign pricing on petcoke is being translated into better margins for us. In terms of total fuel mix, the indigenous coal is about 42%, petcoke at 41%, and balance, as I did mention to you, about 17%. All these are on thermal substitution rate, TSR basis, 17% AFR. One pressure point for us definitely has been our freight costs, which I think on a per ton basis, when they look higher by about 4.5%, and also 8% QOQ, two factors. One, as I already mentioned, because of the loss of momentum in Telangana, which is our closest market basically, when we are still sort of in a way making up for volumes elsewhere which are lost in Telangana over the previous periods, it means we are having to reach out to slightly markets are slightly farther away, more volumes in markets which are somewhat farther than what the Telangana markets are. So that is one factor. Secondly is when I'm saying B2B projects, whether in Mumbai or in Pune area, most of that is going in bulkers. And as we know, the per ton per kilometer cost of transportation of bulker is higher. And bulk cement in quarter three for us has been as high as 40%. So that's the second pressure point in terms of freight cost being higher. And the third obviously is the typical lean season discount that's available from Railways that has not been available in Q3, so that is the third factor which has impacted our freight costs. Given the, I would say, withdrawal of lean season discount and also the bulker demand, that the rail dispatches in this particular quarter have actually fallen from about 15% to 14%. So those are, I would say, some highlights of what the numbers for the quarter are. Like I said, we keep drawing satisfaction from the fact that our strategies of premiumization is working well. Consumers love our product and they're willing to pay the price that we are charging for it. And also in terms of, I would say, the ability to sell OPC so much higher, have higher costs, but still being able to improve our bottom line is something which, again, is a part of our operating model, which is working well for us. So that's on the operations. Quick word I will also have on where our expansion plans are. I know I'm very conscious of the fact, and a number of times we talked about, you know, when the capacities will put up, how they'll come down, and every time we've not been able to keep up with the date that we had announced, and largely I have been reporting that it's been due to delays in our being able to get the necessary regulatory approvals. In this quarter, there have been significant progress on almost all the four projects, I would say, that we've been telling you about. So as we speak, one of the things that we have is our Chittapur plant expansion, which I have been mentioning, that will be our first project to take up on for expansion. The public hearing, which is a precursor to the environment clearance, is now being scheduled, has been scheduled, the public notice has been issued for 17th of February. So on 17th February, we'll have both the public hearings for the production capacity and also for mining. So that happens on 17th February. Post that, obviously, the environment clearance process really picks up speed, because the process before the public hearing is a lot more cumbersome that we've been through. On the Telangana Devapur plant expansion line 4, I had been making again a very clear, let's say, communication that we would want our grinding unit to be parallelly available before we had to add more capacity at Devapur. The good news there is, and that you might have seen part of our release to the stock exchanges yesterday, earlier we were not disclosing the name of the location. So today it's official. It's the Madhya Pradesh State Electricity Generating Company. They have a power plant in Satpura range, and the name of the village, if you want to call it, is Sarni. So at that place, they have approved our, let's say, proposal to put up a grinding unit on their premises, which will have, they will provide us land, they are giving us use of railway siding, and they will also be providing us fly ash at a fairly competitive cost. So all those things they have approved. Only one or two, I would say, there are minor additions or modifications they have made in the our conditions in terms of landed cost of fly ash. They stipulated an amount which is higher than what we had stated, and something to do with space for people to live, their colony and things like that. While they have made those changes, we are in touch with them. We have not accepted what they stipulated as a conditional approval. We are in touch with them to basically negotiate to the extent there is room available for us, which we should be able to tie up very, very soon. So for the first time, I'm letting you know that the new grinding unit, which will support line 4 at Chitapur, at Devapur, is now very close to being signed up. Because if I accept their conditions, it's ready now. But yesterday at the board level, we discussed the whole thing, and we believe there is some room for negotiation. We are going to try our best, and post that negotiation, we'll close it and get on with the activities there. So that gives me the encouragement to now come back to track for line 4 at Devapur also. Again, for which the public hearing for mines has been scheduled for, actually that's before Chitra, on 15th of February. But this Sarni site means that very quickly we'll go through certain formalities, close the deal with the Madhya Pradesh Electricity Generating Company, and thereafter start the process for environmental clearance for Sarni also. So that sort of ties up multiple loose ends which have been hanging for quite a while. And as luck would have it, even the last fourth, I said, expansion of capacity, Rajasthan mines, for which the government orders had been passed, but the required deed was not being executed for some technical reason, that finally that deed also has. So we have a now valid signed lease deed for our Rajasthan mines also, which will now allow us to start making the acquisitions of the land that we do. So that also, so all four expansion plans have gained momentum in one quarter, which is good for us, because so many times we've said we'll do it and we've not been able to deliver on the dates. Exact schedule now, you know, based on how the public hearing goes in the next 2 weeks, as I mentioned, and how the files move from there, hopefully we'll be able to, I'm not announcing the exact start of the activity once again going wrong. In a few weeks, maybe the moment we have clarity, we'll come back to all of you through whatever forum, really when exactly we'll complete the expansion plans. But all four of them are on. It's just sequencing of them, when to start one, when to taper off one, and to start the second one. Those kind of things will perhaps take a few weeks internally, and our long-term plan for that perspective is under process. So let me firm it up a little bit and only then communicate that to you. So that's good news on the expansion plans. I personally don't think there's much left for me to add more to the initial briefing, so I'll stop here and open the floor for the questions. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for the opportunity. So want to get a sense about how big is Telangana market for you, B2C market overall?
The Telangana market overall, typically we've been given numbers, giving numbers for South India as a whole. State-wise, normally we refrain from giving. But South India as a whole for us, does 30%, bulk of it comes from Telangana.
Okay, understood. And as you highlighted, you know, the September to December prices are similar. How are the pricing trend in January?
January, I'm sure you're talking to many other companies also. It's a difficult time for the industry because typically in the last quarter, the momentum we should have seen in January, which sets up the entire quarter very, very well, that momentum, frankly, has been missing not just in January, from December itself. That's why I told you the YTD figures of DPIIT also tell you that till November end, the growth was around 10%, and by the time the quarter ended, it came down to 9%. So obviously, December was slow. January again has been a little slow, and prices, as we speak, have actually stayed at the exit levels of December, I would say.
Okay, understood. Is it possible to give fuel cost in the terms of INR per kcal?
I think I did give it. Okay, I'm just giving you the movement. At the Dehapur, on blended basis, it's, let me just see what my, so that I don't
know. Company level will also do.
Sorry?
Company level will also do, blended.
No, I'm giving you because I monitor, because blended, I'll rather give you plata. At Dehapur, we have about 1800. And at Chittapur, it's a little under 2000. So blended perhaps will come to around a little under 1900. I don't have the state number with me, but I'm just doing my mental calculation, weighted average. So it'll be ballpark about 1900, a little less maybe.
Okay, yeah, got it. So last call you have highlighted that you will, you know, reach a premium share by 25% by FY24 end. So you think, is it achievable or it might be with the lag of a quarter or two?
Look, 25% by FY25 was always going to be difficult, but yes, we are working on that. We are already around 22% or thereabouts. So for all you know, I mean, one of the things that needs to happen is that, see, the premium cement is all at the B2C market. And the momentum in B2C market, and if Telangana consumer market picks up and goes, I think we'll be able to hit 25, but without Telangana B2C market supporting us, it will remain a bit of a challenge.
Okay, got it. Lead distance for the quarter?
Maybe it has gone up by about 10-11 kilometers more than what we had on an average, which will be perhaps a little over 300 that we keep saying. So that 305 may have become 315 thereabouts.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumangal Niveshia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So first question is, if you could share what is the net cash level? I believe it could be net cash at this point. As on 31st March.
31st March? March is not even there.
31st December, sorry.
Okay. Honestly, we are not keeping much in cash form. I think I need to give you the debt numbers which have actually come down. Just to sort of in a way, sorry, that somewhere got left out in my briefing. The total loan that we've had against the Chittapur construction when we started that entire loan by now as we speak is almost liquidated completely. We had the repayment period to 2030. As we speak today, there was about 37 crores left at the end of 31st December. That's been repaid in January itself. Okay? By now, it's already repaid. We had some total borrowings as of now would be perhaps more around 150 crores, and that's about it, which includes my working capital. So rather than keeping cash in hand, we've actually reduced our borrowing so that when we are going to banks, with the new expansion plans, we have a debt-free balance sheet.
Understand. Got it. Any sort of volume guidance you would like to give for overall FY24, which now is just left for the fourth quarter and 25 as well?
No, as far as quarter four and rather FY24 is concerned, As you know, we've done just about 4.4 million till end of December. We do comfortably do about 1.8 million tons in Q4, although January has not supported that, but we're still not giving up our expectations, our hope, and our efforts. We'll try to do more than 1.8 million, in which case we'll end up at about 6.2 or thereabouts for FY24. Right? Given the current, I think, lack of momentum, it's difficult, but my own guess is that as the elections get over, in Q1, we may see a little bit of election. When the election is happening, at that time, demand does slow down. And from all indications that we are seeing, that there may not be any kind of destability at the political level, national level. We believe, if not earlier, post-election, the momentum should pick up. And typically what we talk about, I think all, everybody in the industry would assume that the strong government is at the center without any dislocation. A growth of 10%, 11% is a given. And it was rather promising anything more than the rest of the industry. We should actually, if you ask me, Sumangal, honestly, we should get something more because Telangana should pick up at some point in time. In which case, we might do somewhat better than the national average, but largely we'd like to stay with the, not be behind the national average.
Understood, understood. Sir, one just last set of questions on the expansion. So we should start the land acquisition at Rajasthan in the couple of months once this...
We will start because as I told you, till you get the mining lease, you're never sure. You know, with the government, you never take anything for granted. So that activity of land acquisition would start soon. And obviously we'll go in phases trying to acquire first the land which is needed for putting up the plant because that's a 18 to 21 months kind of activity to put up the plant itself. So we need to have that. And the last one I was briefing, I was saying that from the time we start acquiring land till we get into some kind of a position to start the activity, the investment there would be ballpark about 100 crores for acquisition of land there. And then we'll keep coming back. But yes, you're right. For Rajasthan, we will start acquiring land. That's a time-consuming process, and we are conscious of that.
Okay. And just one last question. Are we looking to parallelly expand Chittapur and Devapur, or is it one will kind of happen first and then the second?
Honestly, I personally think that picking up two clinker lines at the same time may test our bandwidth. That's a very honest acknowledgement of our size of the company. What is more perhaps likely that we will think, and don't take this as a final guidance, but as I think about it, I think Chittapur should happen now. As I mentioned to you there, the demand is a lot more than what we can meet. My own guess is I think we should be able to start Sarni somewhere in parallel, the grinding unit, for which we have clinker available at Devapur, right? And as we sort of, in a way, complete the putting of the expansion project in Chittapur and Sarni, in the meantime, Devapur sometime in the middle can start. So that's how it will be a little bit of overlap, but not parallel.
Understood. Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Next question is from the line of Krisha Kansara from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have two questions. You said that volumes were down in this quarter. So can you please guide us on the percentage loss that you saw on the volume side sequentially as well as on YOY basis?
The overall volume for the company?
Sorry?
The overall volumes for the company you are asking?
Correct. By how much percentage were they down in this quarter?
We were down 3% over last year and 2% sequentially.
Okay. And second is not a question. I just want to confirm the EBITDA per ton figure that you mentioned in your opening remarks. It was 840, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Security Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah,
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question pertains to CapEx guidance for FY24 and FY25. Since mostly in FY25, we will be doing the expansion plan, as mentioned by you. So what would be our CapEx guidance and how much debt we are going to take for this ongoing coming expansion?
As I did mention in my briefing, I have sought some time from all of you, maybe just a few weeks, in which we are actually preparing our own plan. Now that the clarity is emerging about the public hearings, et cetera, just give us a short while. Let me not again throw some number at you. If I want to have a little better quality, the public hearing getting completed, the files moving, and then when, it's all a function of when can I start the activity. Total, as you know, at Chittapur, our expansion costs are going to be in the ballpark in the region of 1,500 crores. That's known to us, right? What I mentioned just now was also maybe Sarni can start coming somewhere in parallel if we can get environmental clearances quickly inside the power plant, so hopefully it should be easier. That cost would be ballpark again about 500 crore rupees, and our grinding unit costs us that much. So out of that 1,500 crores, it's about how much will get spent in FY24 and FY25. That split is not there, but FY24, nothing is going to happen there. I'm talking more about FY25 and 26, right? In which we would like to complete Chittapur for sure and also bulk of the Sarni skid grinding unit. Total cost of 2,000 crores between FY25 and 26, the split is something I would know only when I start the actual processing. I am ready to start construction now. But ballpark is, for these two projects, I think my current estimate is we'll spend about 2,000 crores between the 2 years of FY25 and 26.
Okay, and sir, for this Rajasthan, this grinding capacity will be around 3 million ton or 2 million ton?
No, grinding at Chittapur is going to be 3 million tons, which is integrated clinker and grinding. And Sarni will be a split grinding unit where we will be putting up a 2 million ton grinding unit.
Okay. And sir, I am asking for Rajasthan, where we are trying for
Rajasthan, our current calculation tells us, based on the reserves and based on, you know, life that we want of the plant of around 40 years plus, we are currently working on the assumption of about 3.2 million tons at Rajasthan.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parth Bhavasar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, thank you for the opportunity. So I have like two questions. Right now, we can see that, you know, your share of B2B sales is quite high. So, can we say that, you know, this is because of, you know, the election time in Telangana? And do we see this improving going ahead?
The B2C demand in Telangana or any other place, basically, how is the consumer demand across industries? We've had, because I do handle another consumer company, and anybody I'm talking to, any business today, consumer demand, especially in the rural semi-urban sector, has been very soft. The moment the rest of the economy picks up in Telangana or elsewhere, we start seeing more B2C demand coming. That's always been the norm, right? Currently, because the B2C demand is not there, it's largely B2G spending or B2B spending which is carrying the demand forward. As a result, the percentages are looking a little distorted from normal. But as the consumer demand starts picking up, our B2C business also will pick up.
Okay, so this is not an election phenomenon, right?
Election partly, one quarter can be election, right? But overall, if you look at it across India, if you've been noticing consumables, whether durables or otherwise, everybody is telling you that the consumer demand is soft. I think that's a known fact to everyone.
Yeah.
So that is on top of Telangana going through elections.
So what would we target? Like we would bring this B2B sales back to like the target would be 45%?
B2B, I'd say our ideal mix that we worked in the past is about 60% B2C and 40% or under B2B. Yeah, we are not able to go to 20-25% like some other players whose markets are different. In the markets that we operate, where Maharashtra and Mumbai and Pune will remain large markets, I think our sweet spot will be B2B sales being less than 40%.
Okay, Okay. So, sir, like, once, you know, this improves, like, we do expect, you know, we can see, like, some good improvement on power and fuel cost and freight cost, right, on the back of this?
Yes. And obviously, the more blended cement that you can sell, the less the power and fuel cost. It is a very simple way of a simple process of manufacturing.
Fair. Perfect, sir. So those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Raghav Maheshwari from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question is for the particularly on the demand side. Last quarter, we have reported almost 3% demand degrowth. So how has the industry grown and degrown in particularly area of our operation, particularly Karnataka, Telangana, and the part of Maharashtra where we are the operating?
Look, there are no, unfortunately, no official confirmed data available with anyone on statewide basis. Because nobody collates data like that. So it's very difficult for me to hazard a guess and tell you. Overall, we know that it's been low, and I have also mentioned this, besides the demand being low, people have come under volume pressure, and they've been pushing more volume at lower prices. So maybe some of them at much lower prices have sold a little more than what the market would have needed, for sure. But there is no reliable data available with anyone on demand on month-to-month or quarter-to-quarter basis in every state, unfortunately.
Got it, sir. And second, for the proposed MP grinding unit, is our current limestone availability, facility availability, the Telangana particularly, is it sufficient to serve this grinding unit, or we need particularly new line to serve that grinding, the clinker line for this grinding unit?
For the time being, we'll have some spare clinker at Devapur, but line four at Telangana Devapur plant, I've always maintained, would actually need a split grinding unit. That's why I did not start line four earlier. So the Sarni grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh would need finally to add capacity at Devapur also in Telangana. But if it's a question of you know, few quarters, can Devapur spare some clinker? Yes, it can.
Okay.
That's why I said that maybe I'll start doing Sarni before I put up line four in Telangana. It's just to manage our bandwidth and manage our resources, you know, because ultimately we have a certain size of balance sheet. We have a certain size of cash flows that come in. So taking up two clinkerization units simultaneously, I think we are just going to overstretch ourselves, and I don't think we would like to do it.
Got it. And sir, what is the status of the EC and FC for the Telangana and EC for Chittapur? Is it in our hand, or we had applied?
If you heard me earlier, what I was saying, the public hearing being scheduled are both places in February. Without public hearing, you do not get the EC. Simple. EC can't be in hand if I'm still to do public hearing.
And sir, same case with the FC also?
No, forest clearances is happening in parallel, which is a separate process, which again is going at a good pace. My only anxiety right now is that earlier it got delayed by a couple of months because there were state government elections in Telangana, because the file has to move from Telangana. Now in Telangana state, after the election, the file has started moving. My fear is by the time it reaches center may announce election, they'll go under model code of conduct. These are the hazards, you know, when you have to move from state government to central government. So by now, if Telangana elections are not there, a file should have been through in Telangana government. But unfortunately, not only the elections happened, the government changed. So obviously, things are slower right now. They are resetting the administration. The officials are being shunted. All ministers have not been appointed. But despite that, the file has moved well in the forest departments in Telangana. And my own guess is that fairly soon it should be ready to move to center, because it has to move from state government to central government. If it happens only, let's say, all of us today, mentally, we need to be prepared that in about a month's time, the central government elections may be announced. Mm. Right? And now that is my anxiety. The biggest anxiety about forest clearance is, will it cost me another 2-3 months? Because our file has not reached center before the election announcement. So that's a bit of a worry right now, yes. But like I said, there is no immediate crisis in terms of either availability of limestone or carrying on our manufacturing Telangana. A 2-3 month delay, I would have wanted not to have it, but not that it's going to impact our operations.
Got it, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Vaibhav Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to know for this Rajasthan 3.2 million tons, what would be our capex estimate?
Quite honestly, I personally don't see that construction activity happening for at least 3 years in Rajasthan. We just acquire land and, you know, get ready with it. But when it's ready for us, it's a greenfield site. 3 million capacity, to my mind, will cost us about 2,500, 2,600 crore rupees based on today's information. In 3 years' time, things might change a little bit, but if you ask me today, at today's, you know, we know what the equivalent prices are and other things, ballpark 2,600 crores, about that time, that much.
Okay, got it, sir. One more question, sir, regarding the you know, realization per ton and EBITDA per ton. Can you give us the split between what is the realization and EBITDA per ton for OPC and PPC for...
No, we don't share that. No, I will not share that. It's a blended data that we're sharing with you. Nobody shares separately for OPC and PPC.
Okay.
Because then I have to give every little detail that is not in public domain.
Okay, thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me opportunity, sir. So what is the capex for FY25 with the Chittorgarh and forest clearance, everything put together, and for FY26?
As I mentioned just a while ago, 5 minutes ago, to another question, currently I'm indicating to you our capex between now and FY26, which will be close to 2,000 crores. Exact split of between FY25 and 26 will depend on when I get my environment clearance in hand, because only then I can start contemplating erection, right? So in the absence of that, it will move based on when the environment clearance will become available. Total capex in these two, for expansion in these FY25 and 26, total I can indicate 2,000 crores.
Okay, so how much date could be planned to come in?
How? Date?
Date, yeah.
Oh, date? Sorry, I misheard you. Look, largely what we would want to keep using is all the cash flows that we generate. We don't keep, I mean, historically we never kept cash in hand. We'll keep using our cash flows to fund these projects. To my mind, I think debt... in the next 2 years, if we are doing a 2,000 crore capex, perhaps about 1,200 crores thereabouts.
1,200 crores.
Yeah. Okay. But it keeps getting fine-tuned as we go, but ballpark you can assume about 1,200 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. Closing comments are nothing more than my usual, just my appreciation and thanks to all of you who come and attend our conference and ask some very good, interesting questions and make us think harder about the way we run our business. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for all the support that you keep giving us. Grateful to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.